advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
Are we really still doing this, guys?
This is...
Yes. It's like we have nothing better to do.
I was just thinking the other day, I wish I could remember it all, though, because I'd be so smart.
If it was all retained.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Would be. It would be nice.
We'd be the fucking kings of tinfoil.
I know. We'd almost be... Yeah, we'd be... It's almost like we'd be really good at podcasting.
Maybe.
Like, almost, but... Yeah.
It might be better that we don't, because we'd just be crazy.
That's true.
Well, we're already there.
Especially me.
Well, tell us your pigeon story.
I fucking knew you were going to bring that up.
What story?
Dave hasn't heard it.
Actually, you're making this up. This didn't happen.
No.
No.
Go.
It's dumb.
No, it's funny.
No, break it down.
It's not that big a deal, but I'll tell it.
No, it's not that big a deal.
Brad,
it is a big deal. No, it's a big deal. And I want people to understand when we start asking for money, it's for Brent's mental illness. So
I can't convey it correctly, so it comes across as fucking crazy. But here's the story.
Okay, that's always a bad disclaimer.
In my head, it makes sense. In my head, it makes sense, which probably means I'm crazy. So I was driving my sweet ass Volkswagen bus, by the way, and I was turning the corner and I saw some pigeons on the ground. Okay. Like walking around,
which not a big deal. We got kind of fascinated with pigeons after the
Tesla think this episode. Is the problem is the Tesla episode. Like then we had the pigeon t-shirt. And then I kind of like every time I saw a pigeon, I thought about the Tesla thing.
Sure.
And I think what happened was I created like some long-term memory storage of pigeon that like got nostalgic to me. So it's been a long time since that. But I saw these pigeons and I thought just for a split fucking second, one of them looked familiar.
This is not a joke. This is fucking real.
So I know how that sounds.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a feeling like, hey, I know that pigeon. It wasn't like, I know that pigeon. It was like, why does that pigeon look so familiar? And then in my head, I was like, because it's a fucking pigeon. You've seen pigeons before. You know what I mean? And then I was like, nah, it's like, I know what it is. It's like because the Tesla pigeon t-shirt, the show, we talked about pigeons. Somehow I've made myself slightly like, obsessed with pigeons or something. There's a special spot in my memory that's triggering this feeling of nostalgia that I'm getting confused with familiarity just for a moment. And the moment passed. See, but I made the mistake of saying it out loud to Brad when I should have kept it to myself. And so now, I don't know how many people
that's like
heard
therapy.
It. 100,000 people heard
it. Now, so, yeah, now.
So. Well, the real question isn't just the real issue isn't, oh, I saw a pigeon and I seemed like I recognized it. The real question is, do you keep seeing that pigeon? That's the monitor step.
That is the question. It hasn't happened yet. We'll see what's up.
That's the step we have to monitor.
Yeah. So we have a new bottle of whiskey today.
Yeah.
Came in the mail. And actually, I took a picture of it. It's on my Instagram. It's clear whiskey. So obviously, it's moonshine.
Is that how that works? I was wondering.
Yeah. It's not.
What difference?
It's not aged.
Straight out of the still.
Yeah, straight out of the still.
But why is it still considered whiskey then?
Well, it's whiskey. It's just not. It's moonshine.
It hasn't been aged.
Yep.
Then isn't it moonshine?
No, it's whiskey. It's just moonshine whiskey.
Okay, I'll just agree to understand, which I don't. But the person that gave it to us though is Lucy Robson. Yeah, Lucy Robson, and they're from. They sent it from the crew over at Humboldt Skate Labs, which somehow someone over there knows Sid Melvin, which is one of our friends.
They're in Eugene.
Yeah. There's some weird connection there.
So if you're in Eugene, They have a new.
They're not in Humboldt?
They're in Eugene.
Okay. Now I'm more confused about the whiskey.
I don't know. Maybe they're in Humboldt.
It would make sense.
Humboldt Skate Lab? Maybe they're
actually.
I don't know.
It came from Eureka, California.
That Eureka. Oh, here's Eugene. The address. Oh, I'm thinking of Brian Ross. Yeah. That's why. He's on my nerves right now.
He's on my mind always.
Yeah, always.
So here we go, though.
So Eureka. Clear. So if you're in Eureka, Humboldt County, I guess we're going to drink this jet fuel.
Brad right. cut his with Mountain Dew.
Yes, I made a Super Dew. Here we go.
Woo. What is that? There's like an undertone.
It almost tastes like tequila.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Like an agave, like weird, like, what is that?
Maybe it's labeled wrong.
No, it tastes like a high-end tequila to me, not a... like
actually, a with the Super Dew, with the Mountain Dew, I did about like one shot with probably like two shots of Mountain Dew, and it's actually really, really smooth.
It's not bad. I was waiting for, to turn into like Daffy Duck and go bouncing around.
It smells harsh.
It smells harsh.
It smells really, really harsh.
There's no claim of undertones of anything, but there's definitely something like... planty there, like something herbal or something. I don't know. Like the tequila is the best description I could say.
Like it tastes like like a nice tequila.
But thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
And Humboldt Skate Labs.
Yep. So get your
if I run out of gas in my bus, I know where to come. Right. This is the one to fucking grab. I think my bus would run.
That's right.
Yeah, make America skate again.
Ooh. You better fucking
There's memes.
It's been on. Oh,
okay. There's memes.
And I know you had a strange Yucateco run in right before the show.
Oh, I did actually. Shit's getting weird. We're half-ass famous, and I've been recognized like in grocery stores. Always, I don't know what the deal is with the grocery store.
I think we're proportionately famous for the quality of the work we do.
Maybe, yeah.
So like bums recognize us.
You're half-ass famous for your half-ass show. Yeah.
So I right before the show, I just ran over to the coffee shop across the street, Dagny's, and I was gonna grab some. I was gonna get coffee and a cookie. I haven't eaten today. I've been studying since 9, but. I walked in and the guy like looks at me and he's like, I'm listening to that podcast right now, dude. And I was like, oh, cool, man. Which one? He's like, oh, Bruce Lee. And I was like, oh, right on. That's a good one. I was like, yeah, I'm actually about to go record that right. The next episode right now. And he was like, oh shit, you're Brent. And he's like, I recognize your voice. And then right as we got interrupted, the barista handed over his like food and a bottle of spicy ketchup that cost 88 cents. And I was all, what's up, bro? What's that? He's like, what? And he's like holding it. And he's like, oh, excuse me, ma'am. Do you guys have El Yucateco? And he fucking handed it back. And they looked down. They're like, oh, dude, we're actually out, man. We just have like this one, and this one. And I said, I got you. And so I came back across the street and I took him back a koozie and I took him a bottle of El Yucateco.
Oh, okay. So he's the one that posted on Twitter. Okay. So
that would be him because he didn't mention Twitter. So dude was stoked though.
Yeah.
But it was, it's a good Yucateco story and it was cool.
So did you give the bottle to him? Or
I gave it to
Dagny's?
Him.
Okay, good.
Dagny's a business. They need to buy some more El Yucateco because people are asking for it.
Yeah, it's H on Twitter. Who created it? I don't know how to say it. So that's what you get for making a fucking name that nobody can pronounce.
But there's your shout out.
I retweeted it so people can see how cool.
I actually have a shout out just for a cool name on Instagram. I actually conversed with Chewbacca_uncircumcised this week. And I told him, hey dude, like what's up? That name. I said, you have to meet Lady Boner Shit though. And so I added Lady Boner Shit to Chewbacca_uncircumcised, but Chewbacca said that Lady Boner Shit is a work of art and his name cannot compete with such a work of art. But I just fucking love Instagram names, dude. There's also a dude on here named Itty Bar, which is real close to Titty Bar. I'm pretty sure is what's happening there.
Right.
And he posted an angelic picture of El Yucateco.
Oh, with the dog.
Yeah, the dog and every flavor in the light. Picture. Yeah. I told him I could hear a trumpet sounding.
Yeah.
Brew Jammer on Instagram thinks we're making wine now. And actually, we tasted that wine, the Sofa King Bueno wine.
Yeah.
That is not our wine. We don't like wine, and we don't condone anyone drinking wine.
No.
So... if you drink wine, you're either
a
woman.
I don't condone messianic figures who turn water into wine.
Yes.
I don't condone that either. That's that's a little over the top. It's a little show off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm the son of God. I'm going to turn this into wine. It's a little, you kind of went too far.
Someone accepted
I get it. You're the son of God. Enough with the fucking party tricks.
That was, like, I'm telling you, dude, that's Juwadism. That was someone going back. Yeah.
It's for Kool-Aid.
Parlor tricks.
From.
That was Crystal Light.
They never said how long it took him to turn water into wine.
Yeah.
Or that he
grew
it
into grapes.
Yeah. Never technically. Said. Never said.
Someone accepted my cage challenge though and tried to go watch. So Army of One.
I saw the commercial for that movie.
You didn't
even
make it through the commercial.
Jesus,
huh?
God.
So the challenge is still standing, but currently the record is 33 minutes by Jose Luis.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, he made it 33 minutes, which is a lot longer than I made it.
I haven't even made it to give a shit.
Well, now that someone beat me, mine was 5 minutes and 31 seconds.
Well, I completely forgot about it. And then when I saw the preview, I thought, holy shit, that looks like completely atrocious.
I want someone to be honest if they make it through the movie, though. And you have to pay attention. You can't get up and fucking go to the kitchen 15 times. If you watch the movie and sit through it, hit us up. You're the winner. But I need some honesty. I need, like, I'm going to have to get some trivia from that movie or something.
You have to, I say you film yourself the whole time.
You definitely win a fucking prize. But I don't want to watch you watching it. So how will we prove that, you know?
I don't know.
That's a problem.
You started this challenge with no
if it
fucking...
If it hits Netflix...
I got familiar pigeon friends and shit. You can't hold anything to me for starting
a challenge. If it hits Netflix, I'll give it a
What's
shot.
What's wrong with you? You okay?
I'm okay.
Dave's it's having that, a stroke over
it's
there.
That, it's that white whiskey.
I guess. Jesus Christ.
Dave's racist. He hates white whiskey.
Thing's clear. It's not even white. I hate clear people anyway.
I know. Fuckers.
Fucking assholes. Anyway, speaking of people I hate, you want to talk about Saddam Hussein?
All right, let's do it. That was a good transition.
Long way to the segue.
Yeah. So Saddam Hussein is our topic. Obviously all kinds of shit. He ties into any number of conspiracies, et cetera, but we wanted to cover kind of the gist of him. Cause I mean, what do I know? He's a fucking dictator. He runs a country.
I was hoping that there was going to be some like Omar Gaddafi, like hidden, like philanthropic, like, I don't know that he was really going to be that we just framed him and made him look bad.
Right. But, and he was really doing good things, but
he did a lot of good things in the beginning.
Enemy.
We'll get to, he did do a lot of good things in the beginning.
Well,
but,
I'm sure over his time of rule, he probably did multiple good things along with shitty things.
See, I read some things that were good, but I didn't know if he did them or if the other president did them.
No, it sounded like he was very, very progressive as far as bringing everyone up.
Okay, because the stuff that I read up almost made it, and I couldn't, it was unclear because it was just like vague pronoun usage. And I was like, do you mean he Saddam or he the president that he was working
on? No, even when Akbar, whatever the guy was there, like he was really like the man behind the movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and spoiler alert.
Akbar is from Star Wars, though.
This guy, that's
it's Al-Bakar.
Admiral.
Al-Bakar.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. It's a trap.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
I just know he's from the bath party. Is that how you say it?
I think that is how you say it, with the funky Klingon apostrophe in the middle of it. Spoiler alert. This guy really is a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, and his son is even worse, by the way. I don't know if you guys looked into his kids at all.
No. Because
his son, Uday, was a fucking piece of work.
Uday.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Japanese name.
A little bit. A little pootie-tay.
Mm-hmm.
Uday. What the fuck is
pootie-tay? Anyway, pootie-tay. So Saddam Hussein... born in 1937 in Tikrit, Iraq, and he was born to a poor family. It wasn't like he was part of a political dynasty, nothing like that. His father was a shepherd.
He looked good for his age, man, to be honest, like except for the beard and the hole, like when they found him and shit. Like, but up to the end, I didn't realize how old he was. I mean, he was in the game during like JFK times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which blew my fucking mind. Oh, yeah. I had like, oh, George Bush, like fucking crazy guy with rockets over there in a general suit. I really didn't know that he had been in the game so long. That, when I saw that, it was like, oh, during JFK times.
Yeah. And even when they like drag him out of the fucking spider hole and his hair is all crazy and long, it's like, you still have like a manly head of black hair. Like, this wasn't all just like brushing. Right. Like, you know, this wasn't just for men. Like, you're still like looking kind of young even after the spider hole.
Props on the beard, too.
Yeah, props on the beard. He could grow a crazy mountain beard.
He's Middle Eastern. Come on.
He probably used Afghana, man.
Maybe
that's why
it helps the fullness.
Yeah, might be what it is. So,
it is the bomb.
Oh, here we go. His father was a shepherd, and apparently, so And the stuff I read didn't say a whole lot about this part of his life, but his father was a shepherd and he disappeared several months before Saddam was born.
Yeah. And his name means one who confronts, which is kind of cool. Everyone, all these motherfuckers, like if your name don't mean some shit, find out when you're like first grade.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you if you're going to do something either great or like horrendous.
And if you're going to have a kid, like give your kid a name with some meaning.
Yeah. That's why America's going downhill.
Yeah. Because none of our names mean anything.
What's it mean? You know?
Brad.
I'll find out.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's something that holds something together, like a Brad, probably.
No, that's different.
Brent means hill or high place. What's David?
Mine goes back to biblical. Fucking King David, like bullshit biblical. And then my last name means sheep.
That's weak as fuck.
I know. Fuck.
Better change that shit.
I can't. It's locked in. But so his father disappeared. And I seriously doubt it was I got her knocked up. I'm going to skip town so much as he got fucking assassinated because this was some fucking crazy shit.
Yeah, it doesn't
shit.
Say he never shows back up in the picture. It just says 6 months before birth, he's gone.
Right. So, and then his mother gets severely depressed because apparently he had an older brother who had been killed. So in a very short amount of time,
at 13, he died of cancer.
Yeah, okay. There you go, So his brother, Saddam's older brother dies. His father goes missing. His mom is severely depressed. So they ship Saddam off baby Saddam.
We need that picture for the
record. A big eyed little bobbleheaded baby Saddam. They ship him off to
baby Saddam's got a beard.
He's just playing with the Scud missile. Yeah.
He's at least got that.
He has a Scud rattle, a Scud missile. Like
it's just.
But so he ends up going to Baghdad to be raised by his uncle. And once he gets a little bit older, he ends up going back to move with his mother again in Al Auja. And I guess her husband, his stepfather, ends up like being abusive and all this shit. Mm-hmm. And he's like, peace out. I don't want anything to do with this. And then he moves back to Baghdad again. And this is when he starts to get involved in politics. So he goes back to Baghdad and he moves with somebody named Talfa, who's like a devout Sunni Muslim. And he's like an Arab nationalist. He's like super into political movements, all this stuff. And so Saddam spends like a lot of his formative years in this household, seeing this very active, very political person. And this kind of infuses him with this, like,
he's
love
like, of he's
the
like
nation.
The Al Sharpton of Saudi Arabia.
I think the big difference too, like generationally.
Is that who Talfa is?
Yeah.
Was he like a big guy?
Huh? No, I'm just saying like how he was. He's like the Al Sharpton of Saudi Arabia.
I was going to say like generationally, like with lack of technology, like living in those times, I think people were much more politically charged and activist about stuff because there was nothing else to cling to. And they're not watching movies, like especially in this area of the world. Like what were you going to do?
Well, you couldn't be a Facebook mentor. Warrior either, you know, like.
That was my next sentence was like the pussification of everything. Yeah. Like you've come to this to where you just sit on the fucking couch and watch fantasy movies about Brad Pitt and you don't have to do anything necessarily. But back then it's like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're gonna play stickball in the dirt or you're gonna idolize your uncle who's a fucking crazy, you know, political activist.
You had people who lived in the times or you had people who wanted change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And those people who wanted change were gonna be the ones that were gonna do the political movements and work on that change, you know. I mean, we had the same type of thing here in the United States. It was the same way. The hippies, you know, the peace movement, you know, I mean, you have every generation has some sort of movement in a different way. They, you know, obviously they have even less, probably at this time, even less than we had in America for you know.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah. So he ends up going to a school, which is also, it follows that same mindset, very nationalistic, et cetera, a school called Al-Khar Secondary School in Baghdad. And he ends up getting through school in 1957. And at age 20, he joins the Ba'ath Party. It's B-A-apostrophe-A-T-H. I don't
it's,
know
it's probably said some,
just a pause, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Ba-ath.
But he joins the Ba'ath Party, and I don't know a whole lot about it. I know that one of the goals was a unified Arab state, like to have everything kind of unified and run as one. And this is one of the goals of the Ba'ath Party. And this is one of the things that he was after.
I thought it was interesting and surprising. He actually worked as a teacher for a little while to support himself financially, which that's crazy. Like, I'm not making that up. You're looking at me like I made that up.
No,
like he was a teacher.
Why is that crazy?
I don't know. I just know Dave's like, shut the fuck up. Look, like he's like, I was bullshitting him.
Yeah.
No, Dave was looking
I will
at
tell you
like,
how you're thinking.
Hey, does Dave look familiar to you?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Just the purple feathers.
Looks like that. Yeah.
Hey, you wear purple feathers. What do you want?
I've seen that kangaroo before.
The other thing is, and I know apparently at a young age,
all kangaroos look alike, really.
They do. That's racist. That's racist. With their pouches.
Actually, I saw a video of a kangaroo punching a baby. I got joy out of that.
I bet. But he had like three tattoos on his right wrist, which apparently, based on his region and socioeconomic status, they would just tattoo people so that if you went elsewhere in the nation, they knew you were from this area, you were this type of Muslim.
Nazi
you were
shit,
from.
Yeah.
So like different, I don't know if it was like every area got their own little tattoo, but these three dots on the wrist meant you're from Tikrit, your family believes this, etc. So, and it said that
three dots were my crazy life.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was the mi vida loca.
Yeah, but it said that a lot of other politicians, like especially, you know, later in life, once laser treatment was around, they would get rid of it. They would bleach their skin. They would like do scars to cover them up. Like they would do something to cover them up, and he just fucking pimped it.
Well, because
he was like, fuck you bitches. These are my three dots.
I mean, why, like, is it that
bad? You have
bad?
A scar there. Obviously, you did it. You know, like,
I mean, is it that bad though that you don't want to show where you came from? Like, is it
maybe
crazy?
You're gonna get judged in society. Like, it's like the, you know, was it the caste system where you're not gonna make it because they're like, no, you believe this, you're associated with that,
right?
A lot of other cultures like are hard with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, if everybody had a similar tattoo and you just had yours all scarred up, they would just know you covered your tattoo, but they wouldn't necessarily know.
Right.
I mean, unless the wrist was unique to that region. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd have made like a constellation or something. I was told him I'm real into stars and shit.
Yeah.
Like that's a Ryan's
Big Dipper.
Belt.
It's my Big Dipper, bitch.
It's my Big Dipper.
That was one of Saddam's nicknames.
You got the Little Dipper.
And, you know, up until this point, I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, this, you know, he's sort of a young political activist. He's getting involved in stuff. It's like it could have been the story of just about any politician.
It probably is. It's probably the same if you looked up anybody else.
Right.
It's kind of similar.
But he takes a slight turn in 1959 from, like, say, a Kennedy or someone. In that on October 7th, 1959, Saddam and a bunch of other members of the Ba'ath Party decided to be a good idea to go ahead and assassinate Iraq's president.
You got how bad
to.
That dude was, though. You know
right.
what I mean?
Like, so, judge him, but it might have been some government.
Yeah, it might have been some cool.
Well, from what I had read, he was resisting joining the brand new at the time United Arab Republic. He didn't want connections between other Arab nations, and this is one of the things the Ba'ath Party did. And apparently, he also had communist connections with Iraq's Communist Party, so it wasn't the type of leader that they wanted. So they tried to assassinate him straight up. Gangster style shootout
on the street, ran out. The organization was like, you guys shoot the back of the car, we shoot the front of the car. And it actually failed because Saddam himself actually shot prematurely and like they got all fucking disorganized. He fucked it up. He shot early.
Nice.
Yeah.
And he was trying to make up for it.
It's because the wind blew and the mustache blew in his eyes.
That's right. But yeah, so
I think this type of thing happens like in every country though. I mean, look at like Nicaragua and Venezuela and all these.
It reminded me of Cuba,
and
the Castro,
yeah, Cuba,
like,
yeah.
Attempt to overthrow.
And, like it's every coup. Like every country that has this like, oh, there's a leader we don't want. Like half the country, it's civil war basically. We did the same thing.
No, I mean, but I do want to point out you said it wrong.
What?
Nicaragua.
Oh man, I forgot about that.
We need cocaine for our bungholes.
Cocaine
for your bungholes. You've got a strange bunghole scenario going on.
That's because I could be sniffing the cocaine and you'll never even know it. Like I just have a cocaine popsicle stick up my butt.
You have constant. Talented muscles if your bunghole can sniff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I had a friend that could do these things called butt Yodas. No shit.
Butt Yodas.
Chris Joslin, wherever that guy's at right now.
Butt Yodas?
He called them butt Yodas. So like literally he would like lay down on the ground and arch his back and you would just hear. And then. He would fucking suck air in his butt and fart. It was the craziest shit. Dude could also pee over his shoulder. Like he'd be at, like we were all drinking beer and he would walk out to a tree and they'd be like, Chris, piss over your shoulder. I don't know what he was doing on the other side because you couldn't see it, but it was impressive. Like he would bend his shit or something and just pee like, I'm talking crazy. Like, you thought he must be tricking you and have like a toy made from Nerf on the other side or some shit. Like, what is going on over there? Like, what? I'm no homo. Let me see what the fuck's happening on the other side. Cause how are you doing that? He would pee way back. Like, hit the barbecue
way
behind you.
Way back. That, yeah.
I'm just, well, A, like, oh, fucking hats man. Off because on any weapon system like that, you have to dial in the targeting. So the first several times.
Practice makes perfect.
The first several times he did that, he caught it right in the face.
Yeah, how many times did he piss in his
mouth? I think it was
soggy
shoulder probably. He got some drips and stuff, probably hit his forearm. But
I don't know.
I mean, you could always start going over your shoulder.
Well, you could always start to the side. And
let me draw a picture.
You adjust that Johnson 1 inch, and it's going right in your.
I'll be honest. I miss this guy. He's fucking hilarious. Like this guy. I used to work at PetSmart with him, and he fucking would. He had like a 1988 Toyota Camry or something, and literally he spray painted on the side of it Yeti, and then spray painted a picture of like a fucking like Harry and the Henderson's face on the door, so it looked like a police vehicle. You know, because the door had a symbol that was a fucking Bigfoot, but then it said Yeti across it and like blue spray paint on both fucking sides. And he just rocked it like that. He just drove his car. And why did he do that? I don't know. And then like it worked
for the same reason he pissed over his shoulder.
He was
because
crazy.
He can.
He would like we were at work and he tried to drink this shit called Malathion Blue. And it's to like sanitize fish tanks. Like you put like one drop of this shit in a 5 gallon bucket and it's bluer than Windex. And it says, do not ingest. If you ingest, call poison control. And he wanted to see if it'd make his piss blue. So he took a tetracycline cap from like fish medicine, emptied it, filled it with Malathion Blue and took it like a fucking pill. I don't remember his piss turned blue. So there's your story. Yeah, that sucks. But he didn't die. He's still around, I think.
Cause that all of those all of those ingredients call for a story where there is now blue piss coming over his shoulder.
I'll find out. I'm gonna try to hit him up. I'll find him on Facebook. One time he got into a joke war with my buddy Van Dore, and which that guy's hilarious too. And the Van Dore guy, Chris would always come with a, like an AMPM 64 ounce like drink, like a peach iced tea or some shit. And Van Dore filled it up with algae wafers, which are like dried, like compressed algae. Man. So when Chris went to drink it, like fucking algae sludge came up his straw and he got so fucking pissed. He stomped all the way back to the employee break room, opened Van's locker, pissed in his hair gel and shook it up. And then the next day Van came to work and he would always fix his fucking hair before he went out. And he fucking was just sitting there smiling at him, shaking his head while Van had his fucking spiked hair full of crisp piss. Oh, PetSmart. Such good times. Yeah. We had a lot of fun there. Good times.
Oh, wow.
I'll find out on the blue piss. I'll find out. Somebody knows.
So I don't know how we got into that.
I have no idea.
Familiar pigeon.
Okay. Yeah. So the then president of Iraq, Abd al-Karim Qasim.
You can't say ba'a, but you can fucking say that mouthful.
There's no weird
there's no
apostrophes.
Sheep
involved? Yeah, there's like fucking exclamation point upside down in the middle of the word.
But so Qasim's driver is killed, Qasim is shot, and Saddam is shot in the leg, but they don't end up pulling off the assassination.
Right.
So a lot of the people get caught who are involved and get hanged. Saddam pieces the fuck out.
He goes on vacation.
Yeah, he goes on vacation.
He wants to see the pyramids. He's like, I always want to see the pyramids.
Like, he's such a pimp. It's not like he just goes in hiding. He goes to Egypt and becomes a lawyer.
Yeah.
Like
he went to law school.
Yeah.
I watched an interview with a guy that he lived with for a while. He's like, I remember hearing rumor that 10
Iraqis were
coming.
Well, what else are you
going to
do? You're hiding. You're in hiding.
He's school. Like, well, if I get caught, I better know how to defend myself. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't a street fight. You would have learned kung fu, but it was a legal thing. So he needed to be a lawyer.
So he ends up returning once Qasim's government was overthrown in what they called the Ramadan Revolution in 1963. And again, this is when I was tripping because I was like, I didn't know he was into this like that long ago. Like I didn't know he was like at the top of the Iraqi game, like you said,
during
since JFK.
Times,
yeah. JFK. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to call it out, but I can help.
Clear whiskey. It's jabbering my tongue. So he ends up coming back and he helps in the revolution, helps all this stuff happen, and then he gets arrested for in party fighting within the Ba'ath Party. And while he's in prison, he stays in politics. And this I didn't understand. While he was still in prison, he becomes appointed deputy secretary of the regional command.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but he escaped pretty quick. He escaped from fucking prison in 67.
Okay.
That's pretty gangster. Like, I didn't know that about him either. Like, he got put in jail and escaped and then went and started running shit.
Well, but in 66, he was appointed secretary of the regional command, so he must have still been in prison.
Like, what kind of bullshit-ass prison is this? I mean,
you can get letters. What? He's like, just sign here. They're just like, fuck it. Because everybody's right. So secretly like, against everybody. They're like, look, we're going to send him a letter, and he's going to be the guy.
I think this sounds badass, but really it's like some bullshit-ass fucking, like, he's on home arrest at his mom's house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have a fucking, they've fucking tied up his ankle to a fucking, to the local gun. So he can't go anywhere because then they won't have milk.
Can you just bring me the baklava? Yeah. No, seriously. Go to the market and bring me the baklava. Baklava is like fucking Greek. It's the only word I can think of that sounded like.
I wasn't going to say anything.
No, I know.
I wasn't going to call you out on it.
It fit for the joke. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So... and in this time, because I was trying to find, because I assumed erroneously that he had gotten married because he had all these children, but he had multiple women who he had multiple children with.
Married. Yeah.
So within this era, he starts to get involved in politics. He ends up having a son named Ali. He has two sons named Uday and Qusay, who become somewhat famous later on during his capture.
They're like Iraq's Milli Vanilli.
And
yeah. They had a really popular song called Blame It on the Sand.
Yeah. If Milli Vanilli were sadistic, murderous rapists.
They were.
The song was catchy as fuck, though, dude.
They were. Like, as they were killing you, they were miming to you. They're like...
Blame it on the sand. Yeah. It was finally
blame
falling.
Blame it on the sand. Yeah.
I'm glad you actually knew the lyrics. You
were like, blame it on the bombs that fall at night. Like, it was kind of a ripoff, honestly.
Yeah.
They just sort of put, like, scary terrorist words back.
Yeah. In. So, Uday and Qusay. And then three daughters as well. Yeah.
They did was they had a boombox and they brought it in, hit play, and then they mouthed the words.
They just sang they loud enough that you couldn't hear Amelia. Yeah.
Right.
It was weak. I want a picture
of
them.
I can't shake the image of them.
I want the album cover of them wearing all their general shit with long dreads. Though, like.
Doing that chest bump dance move that they did. So
the chest bump dance move.
Yeah, they run up and bump chests.
Those poor guys. One of them killed themselves.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if it was Milli or Vanilli, but one of them did.
One of them. Who gives a shit?
Green jacket.
I think the either Milli or Vanilli gives a shit.
Maybe.
I think
the other one killed the other one.
Ooh.
Coleman was involved.
Maybe.
Of course.
Yeah, he's involved with everything.
So in 68 is when Saddam really like takes off and starts to hit some power. He participated in the Ba'athist coup that resulted in Ahmed Hassan al-Bashir becoming Iraq's president. And he names Saddam his deputy in charge. So he helps with this coup. Surprisingly,
he's not
peaceful
even 30
coup.
Yet. He's not even 30 at that point.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Surprisingly peaceful. Like the way he's trying to assassinate people and do all this shit. I was waiting for that coup to have been a bloodbath, but supposedly they just kind of took power, ended up running the nation. And then this is where I started to read about some of the things that were done that were good. But again, I wasn't sure if he did these or if he, so what did you read that he,
He started, a literacy program, like a national campaign for education,
mm-hmm.
Compulsory free education in Iraq. So like he gave free education from kindergarten through college. Thousands, like hundreds of thousands of people learned to read during that time.
Got to go to school?
Yes. No, dude, you have to realize that 2/3 of the Iraq population up until then were fucking peasants and farmers. Like they literally lived in the countryside. There wasn't this formal, like, it wasn't a city in any way or modernized, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What happened was when Saddam finally took power and like nationalized the oil interests, we had an energy crisis like in 73 or something. And so he started just making billions of dollars. And he invested it and modernized, you know, he modernized the city. He brought in technology and he brought in this educational system and people had like insurance and he started doing subsidies for agriculture and he started allocating land to farmers.
Man, they're like San Canada.
What? It's in Canada?
Sand Canada.
Oh, because they have universal health care?
Yeah. Right.
And only partial, you know, only a little bit of them can read and shit.
I'm trying to, now Brad made me lose my
just place. Like Canada.
Same
just
Canada. Like Canada. I got nothing now.
So, because the article that I read, it almost made it sound like the president did this and that Saddam wasn't calling those shots.
I read it. Yeah, and even like electricity, like people didn't have electricity. Like, I mean, it was insane. It went from like castle times to fucking modern times.
Right, right, basically.
Mm-hmm. It went from castle times to not safe to be black people times.
That's right, in a quick shot.
Yep.
But then at the same time, he was also developing his chemical weapons program.
Which the Reagan administration actually provided, well, indirectly through third parties in the United States, provided the
indirectly
plans.
Oh, yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, for the fucking stuff. Yeah. I just want credit due where credit's due. Because right now, I'm still his friend. That's the thing. Like, he tried to kill
we're
a bad
on his
guy,
side right now.
Took off to see the pyramids, which I'm down with.
Right. Wait,
he came back.
Wait, you're his
some
friend because he tried to kill a black guy?
Yeah. Taught some people how to read. It was a black woman, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, I'm scared. It's about time. It's about space. We don't have to get into it, but he's got my support. At this time, he's got my support.
At this time.
At this point is immediately also when he stops getting my support because he starts to support arm and get out there throughout the country. Baathist paramilitary groups that start to use assassination, rape, and torture to secure Baathist ideology throughout the country. And he's very aware of it and is sort of encouraging them to do these things.
Okay, this is where I'm jumping on the Saddam Hussein train now. I'm on now. You're falling off. I'm on it.
Spread the word. Yeah. Spread the seed.
Spread the word. Yep.
Yeah.
So this is the that was part of it for me. So in 1979, when al-Bakir attempted to unite Iraq and Syria, Saddam ends up basically doing another coup and takes over the nation.
Choo choo.
So
he forced other president to resign.
Forces him out. So
I wonder what he did. He went in and fucking had a conversation with them and told them they were either gonna kill him.
Yeah, basically, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. I mean, if he's already assembled the weapons of mass destruction and paramilitary rape gangs, then I think he can get
the
president to step down.
Oh man!
During that time, right before that though, like they were developing so fast because of the infrastructure and economic influx. Because
they just had a fucking boom of money,
that oil money out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and they could have paid the president to resign too, just peacefully.
Yeah.
Well, they were growing so fast that 2 million people had to come in. An influx of 2 million people came in from other countries surrounding just to fill the work demand.
Wow.
Because there was that much work. Not only were the Iraq citizens working, but they had to bring 2 million people in from surrounding countries. I mean, it was like how Dubai is, you know what I mean? But then it all, you know, what's Dubai?
Well, you got to get that
really cool empty hotels and islands with no one living in them.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like when I look at most dictators, you know, who have fucking statues of themselves and all this shit all over the place, they tend to like the modern dictator never did shit in the first place.
Right.
But it's like when I'm looking at what was happening in Iraq with this oil boom, this huge surge of money, education, healthcare, all these changes, infrastructure, roads,
they
water.
They probably love him at this
like
point.
They, at this point, they probably did love him.
Yeah.
Like they were like, fuck, this guy is like bringing, like they've just elevated our living. Like,
did you guys see the propaganda?
Since Mr. Saddam has been in presidency, I've gained 3 pounds.
Here's the worst propaganda pictures fucking ever.
What
like, look
that?
At this. He's like, yes, I like that. Sign off on that one. Make a big poster of that one for the side of the wall. Look at it.
That's
I sound like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
You did sound like Triumph the Insult Comic.
Think of that. It's just a fucking like a Valentine with Saddam in the middle of it. It's fucking horrible.
He's an idiot.
That was state mandated.
That was some propaganda. That, okay. That was official.
Yeah, so, made you love him.
That's right. I'm back on the train again since I saw it.
Yeah, you're back on now.
Yeah, just that one picture.
Rape gangs and that picture.
I didn't know he sat inside of a heart.
There was also a mandatory best friend's pendant. It was half. half of it. It said you and me and Saddam across the back.
Everyone got a friend bracelet.
A bracelet. Yeah.
So on July 16th, 1979, he becomes the president of Iraq, and less than a week later, he calls an assembly of the Baath Party at the Capitol, and during the meeting he reads out a list of 68 names. Every single person on the list is arrested and removed from the
and
room.
He ordered that it be filmed, this meeting too.
Ordered that it's filmed. 22 of them are sentenced to death and they're shot dead.
And it makes the higher officials form the firing squad too.
Ooh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, part. Just for extra loyalty. Fuck. Yeah, like you're loyal, like we're going to shoot these guys and I need you guys to do it. Mm-hmm. What do you do? You're like, fuck, okay. God damn it.
What are you going
to
do?
You have to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So, and of those six, so 40, 48.
Unless you're a real good shot, you turn fucking quick and pull that trigger.
48 were sent off to re-education camps or just some horrible place to live out the rest of their miserable lives. And then 22 were killed on the spot. This is in July. By early August, he had killed over 200 prominent political enemies, not just like 200 random, you talk shit about Saddam, like fucking governors and senators and mayors and people in positions of power, 200 of them by August in a month.
Did you see the pack of dogs that they trained? The pack of dogs they trained to specifically eat the genitals of their enemies. No. So they would release them. Like they would get the people
in
the room.
I've heard that story somewhere though. Yeah,
and they would release them. And the dogs would only go after the genitals. So as soon as they would get the genitals, it'd be over. They would move to the next one. They were attack dogs.
Is that true? I've heard that story from somewhere, but I don't think it's from this. That's like fucking Snatch or something. What is that from?
What?
Or Game of Thrones or some bullshit. You're pulling that from somewhere else.
It's Saddam.
Mm-mm. If my fucking phone wasn't on Android update 61 of 63, I would so Google that shit right now. Fucking updates.
I'm lucky
out of
for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Our listeners are Googling it right now.
Yep, the crotch dogs are
going okay. Out. Google crotch dogs. Siri, crotch dogs. You gotcha. Fucker. I got you. Gotcha.
Oh wow, I did work. Yeah. CrossFit.
CrossFit.
That shit sucks.
Fuck you, Siri. Fuck you.
That's mine's
Google.
Not
That's
Siri.
Google.
Google. Fuck you.
Yeah. I don't know why I did that. It's on mute. Shouldn't it be kept its mouth question. Shut?
Speak with a vengeance.
What's what do you say?
Speak with a purpose.
Go Google.
With a purpose.
A porpoise.
You say go, with, you say go, go Google.
Go, go Google Gadget.
Yeah. No. Okay. I was hoping something awesome would happen.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a picture of Inspector Gadget, all like right. The ultimate Easter egg.
I have said Oogle Poodle. I've done a bunch of fucking crazy shit to try to trick it, but yeah. Doesn't work.
Okay, so he ends up taking control, and this is where he starts the murder train, starts killing people, starts becoming the batshit Saddam Hussein that we all know and love. Mm-hmm. So this is in 79. The same year, 1979, their lovely neighbor Iran ends up there's a contested thing over there for power, and the Ayatollah Khomeini ends up taking over in Iran. So Iran is suddenly run by a Shiite majority, and this threatens the Sunni power base that Saddam needs to keep control of Iraq. And he's worried that if the neighboring country just had this this popular surgence towards a different view of Islam, that his nation.
Well, yeah, that's all the people that they fucking ran out from. There, moved over to Iran. That's why they call it Iran. They ran over there. Started their own thing. Now he's got to take that shit over.
And there's a lot. I mean, you see him targeting a lot of different people. He targets different ethnic groups. He targets different political groups, different variations of religious groups. That like he's trying to keep a very specific racial, political, and religious ideology to be what's in charge. And anyone who's outside of any one of those, he's trying to get rid of. And this is a lot of the strife and the accusations of genocide that start to come against Saddam Hussein. It's always because of he's hitting, you know, Kurdish people in his country, or he's trying to kill Shiites instead of Sunnis, and all this different stuff starts to unfold. But so the Ayatollah Khomeini takes over Iran. And apparently there was also some sort of a dispute about the Shat al-Arab waterway. So between these two things, he ends up declaring war on Iran because he doesn't want his power threatened. And apparently he also wants to secure this waterway.
Yeah. Well, he pretty much has to declare war on him.
Right. So
his mustache told him to.
His mustache said so. Yeah.
It was Geraldo's mustache. Before,
I think
before
he
it was
Geraldo's. Well, Saddam Hussein actually was Geraldo Rivera.
No, just the mustache.
It's just the mustache.
You think just the mustache.
Yeah. It actually transfers.
Forrest Whitaker took it back in time and gave gave it to Saddam before mm-hmm. Geraldo had it. And then when Geraldo came of age, Forrest Whitaker finally bestowed it upon him after the assassination. The one that Saddam was actually wearing in the end was a natural mustache. That mm-hmm. Was after the crazy times of the Geraldo mustache.
Our only hope is Tom Selleck's mustache. Mm-hmm.
That's the doppelganger.
It's our only hope.
That one's just a mustache, though.
No,
nothing special
it's not,
about
my
it.
My friend.
It's just a mustache.
No, it's not.
Wait,
it's
just a mustache.
I saw it when it was sick and it was in the hospital bed.
Did you see it?
It was in a Conan O'Brien episode. His mustache.
Tom
Selleck was on the show. It was pretty awesome. Anyway, so he declares war. He ends up invading the area of Khuzestan in Iran. And this is where we start to get into a lot of dicey government shit. This is where we start to get into some CIA shit. This is where we start to get into Ronald Reagan. This is where we start to get into all kinds of stuff. So this war goes.
What year is it right now?
From 1980 to 1988 mm-hmm. is when the Iran-Iraq war lasts. From everything that I read, the Western world in general supported Saddam Hussein because they wanted his brand of Islam to be the one that would win, not Ayatollah Khomeini's brand of Islam. So they were fully backing Saddam Hussein on this war.
He was just a lesser evil. It was like someone they could deal with. You know what I mean?
I mean, he'd already been there.
And he had the oil.
Well, I think they both had the oil, but I think they were just more, maybe he already had better trade things in place but that was who they end up backing him. So they're training his troops. They're giving him weapons to help him win. And I remember that was a big thing that a lot of people were complaining about, and rightfully so, is that when we finally had the Iraqi war, we were fighting against people who were trained and using equipment that we gave them in the 80s. I mean, our training, our...
It's always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had our shit.
We train everybody that
We train everybody that turns against us.
At least we know how they're going to fight.
That's right. We already know their shit.
And those even are within, old jets.
That's right. We don't care. Yeah. Even within this, so one estimate that I read was that human rights advocates think that Saddam killed 200,000 people between 86 and 89 in this area just with chemical weapons.
Doesn't seem like a whole lot.
Like that's not even the war total. That's just like chemical weapons only, destroying small villages.
Yeah, what did he hit him with? Like ortho, just, like roach killer? Like
no, it was like it was mustard gas.
Mustard gas, like, and
nasty
sarin
like,
gas.
It was shit they got from Germany, stuff that they produced with plans from Reagan. Like we let them buy, like we just allowed them to buy all the components to make the chemical weapons, and then another company provided them the plans to build the facility to create the chemical weapons.
I wonder if that was that we give them $4 billion in agriculture credits. I wonder if to bolster it against Iran. I wonder if that's what they used.
They got confused and just grew mustard, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, now what's better to do? Make sandwiches. I don't know what to do with this stuff, you know?
Put it in your eyes. It burns!
Shit! It burns, but it's not that bad.
Shiite! I'm not...
you know?
I'm not dead yet.
It's almost pleasant. It's aromatic, you know? It's not that bad.
Lick my eyeballs.
So...
Put a piece of lettuce on my eyeballs and lick it.
And again, this is where it gets dicey, and this is where our good friends, the CIA, show up. And I didn't know about any of this saga until I was doing this research. So the Iran appeals to the UN during the war, saying Saddam is using sarin gas. They're killing our people. There's no proof of it. The UN basically says, no, he's not. Like, we don't have any evidence
bullshit.
Of this.
That's probably why Bush was like,
bullshit.
I know he has weapons of mass destruction, man. Right. I know you got him still. Where's that, man?
Yeah,
like, I know.
Exactly. But here's the thing, though. So in 2013, a bunch of declassified CIA files come out, and they showed that there was specifically, they talk a lot about a guy named Rick Francona, who was a lieutenant colonel for the U.S. Air Force, I believe. He was an NSA operative in Iraq during this time. This is like what he did. And he had gathered intelligence about mustard gas that they were getting and building bombs out of parts. He even knew the exact supply chain. They were getting these parts to build the bombs in Italy. This is where he's getting the chemicals. He has mustard gas. He has sarin gas. He has all this stuff, and he gives that information to the CIA, right? He, in 1984, when he was an attaché in Amman, Jordan, Francona saw villages that were destroyed using Tabun tear gas against Iranian forces that Iraq deployed. He saw the dead bodies. He saw the effects of the gas. He was regularly debriefing U.S. officials all the way up to the president of the United States, who at the time was Ronald Reagan. CIA Director William Casey debriefed Reagan about the buildup of mustard gas and all this stuff. And then Reagan just kept saying, Iraq needs to win no matter the cost. Like, that was what he kept telling the cabinet. Iraq needs to
win. I wonder what the reasoning behind that was, like, really. Like,
well, because if Iran took over Iraq.
I understand the, like, the religious thing, but, like, everything always comes down to money. Like, I wonder what the deal was.
Well, probably because he also played ball. And I think Iraq sat on like 20% of the oil reserves in the Middle East. So that's a big
deal. I'm sure we have massive oil contracts.
That's what ends up being the Kuwait problem also, because there's huge oil reserves in Kuwait. And so Saddam would restrict the production of oil to keep the cost of the barrel high. And we had an agreement with him to do so. Yeah. Like, we had he was playing ball. You know what I mean? It was like our crazy buddy.
Well, of course he was, because he's getting money.
Right.
Like, that's, I mean,
he was our friend until he's not our friend, because it worked out. But if this other motherfucker took over, don't know if he's going to play ball. And then he's got millions of extremist, like, Islamic, like, you know, the people that might not, they might not see our point of view. They don't give a fuck. They're not going to give us the oil. That's the problem.
You know? And the other thing, like, the other thing that's so fucked up about this, about the CIA and Reagan knowing this, is that the once Iran went to the United Nations, they were asking every member nation of the United Nations, do any of you have any intelligence that backs the fact that the Geneva Convention is being broken and Iran is being attacked with chemical weapons? And everybody's like, nope. But the CIA had full fucking knowledge. Yeah. Reagan had knowledge. At one point in 87, according to this Francona guy, in one of his reports that he wrote, one of the big turning points in the war that kept Saddam from getting his ass completely whooped, I guess there was a massive Iranian report or attack that was being built up, and I forget the exact location, but they were getting ready to attack massively, and Saddam didn't have any intelligence on the attack, but our satellites showed it. We knew exactly how many troops, where they were. And during the debriefing, Reagan wrote in the margin of this guy Francona's debriefing packet and slid it back to him. He wrote, quote, an Iranian victory is unacceptable, and like slid it over to him while the debriefing was happening. So the decision was, let the CIA give Saddam all of the military intelligence about this pending attack.
Yeah, like, our contribution primarily was satellite imagery of Iranian deployment.
Yeah, so this is exactly how many, this is when they're going to attack. Yeah. This is where they're attacking from. And then guess what Saddam did to stop the attacks?
Chemicals.
Hit them all with sarin gas.
Like, I guess that shit's horrible, too. Yeah. Like, horrible.
Because, and one of the other CIA documents that came out said two-thirds of the attacks of the chemical weapons attacks occurred in Iran before Iran said it was happening and asked the UN for information. Right. So America already knew all this shit and was like, nope, don't know anything about it.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah. Fucked up.
Reagan's awesome.
Well,
I loved him when I was little. I had no idea all the evil, though.
You know what, though? Like,
I was Alex P. Keaton when I was little.
So many things that think of the decisions you'd have to make as president, regardless what, you know, Democrat, Republican, fucking libertarian, fucking transhumanist.
Endless.
Like, think of the decisions you'd have to make.
Why those motherfuckers have gray hair in 2 years and shit?
Yeah.
It's age 20 years. It's insane.
Yeah. It would just be, that's not something I would want to do.
No.
But, you know, because in the end, you know, like, Reagan's thinking, like, fuck, like, I'm helping this douchebag.
Right.
But we have to.
Right.
You know, just it's hands are tied, game, you know.
So it must have just been whatever, like, either A, it was just purely money, or B, they might have just thought that Ayatollah Khomeini was just going to fucking go buck ass.
We got to lock
this guy down and not let him leave his border or
at least Saddam's, you know, cooperating with us.
Right.
And, you know, these other guys are fuckheads, you know.
Like, he might be fucking up his
own
country.
The other guys are pretty much looked at as radicals. You know, they're going to be out of control. You know, they're not in the UN. They're not in, you know, any sort of, you know, conventional thing. They're just going to go in and do what they want. And
they were in a book club together, though.
They were.
They met on Sundays.
Yeah. They read Goosebumps.
So the war goes 8 years, though.
Yeah. Yeah. 8 years, over a million dead.
And nothing fucking changes.
Nothing fucking that's changes.
The yeah. borders don't change. A million people fucking yep. die.
That's
and
it.
Nothing else.
Yeah. A bunch of fucking people get super man. Horribly sarin gassed and mutilated and fucking just.
I was thinking the sarin gas, the Japanese used that too. That the one in the cult. What was it? The. I can't think of their names now. Fucking crazy cult.
The cult.
Oh, that is Sarangas, yeah.
Yeah.
I never could say that.
Too, yeah.
Yeah.
That episode.
Ayum Shinriko. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's it. Well done.
Super high-tech well gas deployed in paper bags. What the fuck?
Like, yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
What was last minute shit?
Fucking party balloons.
But well, they got left over from Saddam. They actually found the weapons of mass destruction
in
Saudi Arabia. And they snuck them over to Japan. So they had moved. U.S. intelligence wasn't really watching, you know, the Japanese because
and this is like this when point. I was reading about this, I was like, it was like the fucking cruelest, like irony, like when the world needed America to say, yes, he has weapons of mass destruction. We were like, no, he doesn't have any.
Yeah.
And then the time that the world needed us to say, no, he doesn't have any weapons of mass destruction.
They're like, he's we got him. Like,
he's got him. Like, just fucked. Like, thanks, CIA.
Yep.
The CIA, like, throws a wrench in everybody's
they
plans.
Sure the fuck do. I'm beginning, and I don't want to shock you guys. I'm beginning to not necessarily trust our government. I mean, I don't want to cross a line.
I'm right there with you.
I don't want to cross a line.
You know what? It's like if you had to choose like the FBI or the CIA, like it's like the lesser of two evils, you know, like the FBI has done some fucked up shit, but the CIA has done.
Oh, the FBI is way better than the CIA.
Yeah.
CIA just fucking. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the FBI gets a little over egregious.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
they pull the trigger a little too quick.
Yeah. Little trigger happy or whatever.
To take that power away is why they got years and years of doing what the fuck they want.
But the CIA is so underground. You don't know who's in the CIA.
No. Or what the fuck they're doing.
It's, it's the crazy. Locks keeping
the government,
honest man honest.
Yeah, the government doesn't even know what the CIA is doing.
Integrity has to do with what you do when no one's looking. You know what I mean? And when no one's looking,
the CIA has no
fucking,
integrity.
They go, that's what I'm saying. They like go buck wild.
Yeah, the first you know, question on the CIA test is, do you have integrity? And it's like, yes or no. And if it's yes, you're out.
Well, peace. Unfortunately, like we would all be a little different if there was no consequence for our actions. Like if we just decided that you weren't going to get in trouble for doing A or B or drinking at this age or having sex at this age or, you know, punching this person or whatever, it would be a different fucking world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it'd be the Middle East. That's what it would be.
Chopping off hands.
Yeah. Man. Fuck you.
I promise you. I mean, I know that the CIA has done a whole lot of shit that has made the world a better place.
That's just what I was going to say. Tom Cruise saved their ass
no less than 10 times.
Yeah.
But
him and Jason.
Just like, how much of this stuff is just them fucking running amok, though? It's like,
it's one of those things. Like, you look at the CIA, like, they did this fucking crazy thing. Like, they did drug running or whatever. And then you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like that seems like it would hurt whatever we're trying to fix. Yet maybe for some unforeseen reason that we don't know.
Well, there's
you know what I mean?
Like, you can't beat them, join them. Like if you go ahead and keep your enemies closer, sometimes that's just what has to happen to make shit work as a whole.
Sure.
Because
they're going to do it. I don't know. You know, obviously if there was some simple answer, there's a lot of smart people in the world doing a lot of things. They would probably do it.
Right. Yeah.
So unfortunately, this is just how shit works.
Yep. So shortly after the war in Iraq, very shortly, about a year and a half after the war in Iraq, he's not quite done with the whole war thing.
No.
And this is when Saddam's really kind of getting warmed up.
Yeah, he got itchy.
So on August 2nd, 1990, he orders the invasion of Kuwait. And his justification is that it used to be part of Iraq, so it belongs to them, and that it's now going to be the 19th province of
the country.
That's
part of it, though. But his big problem was that they were flooding the market with oil. They were overproducing oil. And every day that they overproduced oil, he lost $1 billion because it would drop the price. For every $1 off a barrel, he lost $1 billion because they produced $1 billion. So he asked the United States and everyone, like, please, is there – he actually said, like, I don't have the intent of taking, you know, taking this to war if there is a diplomatic ongoing solution to correct this. But what do you say? Like, if you can produce oil and you want to sell oil, like, that's your commodity, that's your export. They're obviously doing it to stick it to him because he wants to take their territory based off of borders or whatever. But finally, he was like, enough is enough. And apparently they set up wells on the, you know, border that was already questionable and did slant drilling. So they were like drilling into his reserves.
Slant drilling?
Yeah, they like drilled sideways. That's the accusation. I know Brad's in the oil fields, but he said that they set up on his border and that they were actually tapping his reserves from their side of the border.
Well, it's the, I will drink your milkshake. It's directional drilling.
Yeah.
So they go in and they'll, I mean, a reservoir, an oil reservoir is big.
Underground link. Yeah.
Yeah. They could have, I mean, it could have been their reservoir and they shoot straight down. You know what I mean? That, yeah.
Right.
Still hitting, still sucking from the same reservoir.
So. Right.
So that's what really gets that.
Yeah. And then, it's about money. I mean, it's the same thing as it is now. OPEC's still fucking everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Like nobody likes OPEC.
No. So he invades Kuwait, and then the United Nations gives him a deadline of January 15th, 1991, and they say, get the fuck out. What are you doing? And the idea is, and they say, you know, we're going to put our UN might behind this, and if you don't leave, a coalition of the willing, that was the term, of multiple nations are going to come in and drive you out of Kuwait. It's no one nation. Right. You're now going to war against the world.
Right.
And he says, go fuck yourselves. And he stays right where he is.
Starts tossing Scud missiles.
Yeah. And he starts tossing Scud missiles. And the coalition of the willing jumps up and very, very quickly stomps a fucking mud hole in his ass. Like, it was over so quick. I was a freshman. A sophomore. I was in college. I was a college youngster when this went down, and I remember it was always on. I remember distinctly when this happened.
What date was this?
This was January 15th, 1991.
So Bush is in office. Is this when Bush is in office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and that seems right. When you hear shock and awe, and you know that the military superpower is going down on some dude that's got Scud missiles, which are basically giant bottle
Six
rockets.
Weeks.
Like, they just fucking shoot, and there's like no trajectory. It's just like, what angle is it at? They have a protractor and a map, and they're like, this is how much thrust we have. It should hit here.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's about fucking time you knock something out with a quickness instead of drawing it out for a fucking eight years.
Well, the reason they draw it out for 8 years is because they make money on it.
Right.
Like our wars anyway.
Right. Lockheed's making planes and tanks, and they're...
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, I remember the announcement. I remember everything going down. I remember my dad called and told me that once the war was declared, he told me if a draft starts, you're moving to Canada with my money because you're never serving in the U.S. Army during a war, because he did and got his fucking leg half blown off and all this fucking shit. And I was like, Fuzzy, we called him Fuzzy. I was like, I think I'm cool. I'm in college. The draft isn't going to hit me anyway. But I remember I had a car. My brother didn't, and he had class at 7 a.m. I didn't have class till 9:30. So I would drive him to class and I would go sit in the cafeteria. I was the only person there at 7 a.m. and I would eat biscuits and gravy, because they were $2.50 for all you could eat biscuits and gravy. And I was a poor college student. Yeah. And I would sit there and watch TV, and I would just watch CNN and the news feed and what was happening. And like the quarters were,
grandpa.
The quarters were only 10 weeks long. And I would be sitting there doing homework, eating biscuits and gravy. And mid quarter, they were like, well, the war's over. I was like, what? Really? That was fucking quick.
That was the quickest war ever.
God damn. Like, I didn't even get to midterm.
The Cold War was 20 years.
Like, Jesus Christ. So I think this emboldens Bush Jr. later on to say the war is over really soon, because his old man whoops Saddam's ass real quick, like, but it's a different world a bit later on. But so within this, there's an estimated 150,000 Iraqis that were killed within this 6 weeks. And Saddam's press, of course, spins it beautifully, says it was the mother of all battles. It was the biggest victory, because he told, since he controls all state media, he was saying that there was an American invasion and that they repelled the hostile American invaders and were strong enough to repel America.
Some North Korea talk.
Yeah, and then he said, quote, Iraq has punched a hole in the myth of American superiority and rubbed the nose of the United States in the dust. So this is his takeaway at the end of the 6 weeks when he gets
little does he know he's pissing little George off.
Right, exactly.
And he keeps Curious doing George it. Is getting to be yeah, Furious George. Yeah,
exactly.
Right now.
And he keeps fucking with people. So in 93, he's just like poking the world with a stick and seeing what's going to happen. So in 93, he starts fucking around and he ends up getting faced with massive sanctions and blockades. In 1996 or 98, he does the same shit, starts like making posturing that he's going to fucking break all these truces and do all this stuff. So they start dropping some fucking missiles on Baghdad. Yeah. Like he just keeps like pushing.
It's a difficult position for the US though, like to put, you know, the sanctions and whatnot on, like they're limiting things going in. So like the citizens are starving and they're taking away things from
him.
Yeah.
But
Saddam's still fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His mustache is still luscious.
He's still wearing diamond encrusted Rolexes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So in 2002 though, in a legitimate election, he won with a historic 100% of the vote.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Vladimir Putin.
Get to that.
Kind of like Vladimir Putin. Yeah, like, but first, who else are you going to vote for? He's the only one running.
In 95 though, this is what's funny is this is the flaw in his theory. Cause like in 95, he did the show election that they call it, and he got 99.96 of the votes and only 3,052 negative votes. That's how you got to leave it. You can't tell some motherfuckers that you got 100% and that all 11,445,638 eligible voters cast their vote and there's 100%. Because you know what happens? A couple motherfuckers didn't vote that shit. You know what I mean? And they're like, I did not vote that way.
Right.
I think
right.
something fishy is going on here, right. man. I think they're not telling the truth. You have people start not believing it and fucking talking shit. But if you leave it at 3,052, you're like, damn, man, there weren't a lot of people with me on that one. Because no one knows. Like, you don't have 3,052 right. people to confer with.
I mean, come on. Like,
did you vote that way? You got like 10 people you're going to have.
One dumbass didn't put the wrong fucking bubble.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me one guy.
My stupid goat. You fuck it. I told you. You fucking stupid goat. Gonna milk you till you're dead. Piece of shit.
You gotta leave some room for error. It's like having your smart friend do your test or your homework. Miss a couple on purpose. You know what I mean?
But at the same time,
I'm not that smart.
He should have started at like 90 because you're gonna want to keep showing improvement. So when you already start at 98 point whatever, it's maybe the next election.
Yeah, maybe the 199. He just don't give a fuck. Yeah. Like he's like, you know what? Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. I don't even know why he was having elections.
I don't either.
Like that's the thing that cracks me up. Why did you have an election?
It's probably just
for the perception of the rest of the world, like the North Korea thing to try to make people perceive like he's rolling with an iron fist.
Fuck off. If I'm rolling with an iron fist, I'm telling you to fuck off.
Go fuck like, off.
I don't need to run an election.
Yeah, but you don't want fucking ruler. He's trying to have the perception that the people love him to leave him alone, that we're all happy over here. We're doing what we're doing. Like, you know, that
everybody's
all
happy.
Food and
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Leave us alone. You're just the invading power. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Right. So I want to speak to some of the shit that he's doing to his own country in this era. Like, to his own people, to his own, like there's, cause this is where everybody's like, well, what did he do? Why was he such a fucking horrible man? And we haven't really talked about that. We've talked about him gassing his enemies, doing things like that.
Which that's understandable.
And his children were fucking monsters.
I heard he cheated at Uno. Like he would have draw fours in his sleeve and shit.
He would cheat at Uno. Fucker. He'd pee in people's pools.
Yeah.
Like he was a bad man.
He didn't even care if that blue shit was in there either. No. He'd do it.
So. Some of the stuff in one thing I uncovered in 1998, a village of Halabja in his own country, the village was speaking up as vocally disloyal to his regime and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, you got to kill him.
So sarin gas, 5,000 dead, 10,000 permanently injured.
He loved that gas.
He loved that shit.
His brother ran a murder squad that their entire goal was to run around finding people who opposed them. That was their only purpose.
Right.
We'll just go find him and kill him.
Right. And he blamed it on Iran, by the way, that dead city. He blamed it on Iran. At one point, his elder son, who I have a lot more to say about, Uday, beat Saddam's food taster to death in front of a massive party. Like everybody was there for the party. His fucking son flies off the handle, beats him to death in the middle of the party. And according to law, he should have been executed. So Saddam orders his own son executed. And then, of course, a couple of days later says, just kidding.
You should go see the pyramids.
You're
maybe,
fine.
For a little while. You're maybe fine. You should go to college.
How you get the law degree?
But yeah, so he beat the food taster to death.
Did it say why?
It didn't say why.
You describe this as bitter. Well, it's more spicy to me, I think. You call this duck la ranch?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the food taster's job is to make sure he doesn't get fucking poisoned.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
so what could he got mad about?
I don't know.
Well, Uday was giving him the Vienna sausage, and he didn't like it.
I think maybe he was allergic. The guy was allergic to peanuts. He's like, I'm allergic to peanuts.
I don't want
to
eat.
He's like, why did you fill out the application for food tester? It clearly said you have food allergies. You know Saddam loves peanut butter. I beat you to death and go see the pyramids. I have no choice.
Strawberries too? You piece of shit.
Jesus Christ. You're useless to us. Half of his diet is peanuts and strawberries.
The husbands of two of Saddam's elder daughters left Iraq and came back. And when they got back in the country, he shot them both.
Understandable.
In July of 1982, he was in a town called Dujail, and someone in town fired a weapon at his motorcade.
That was Coleman.
I think he's
a stirring up shit.
So he immediately had the troops apprehend 140 fighting aged men that were in the village. They were all taken away and never seen again. You can imagine they were all taken to Disneyland and had a wonderful, wonderful existence. The other 1500 people from the village were arrested, tortured, moved to the middle of nowhere in relocation camps, and Saddam ordered bulldozers and flamethrowers to raise their village to the ground.
No, I think
raise their village to the ground. Is that a term?
Yes.
I think he did take them to Disneyland, because while they were off having fun on the roller coasters and eating their candy corn and churros and stuff, their village was getting burnt to the ground. So when they came back and he showed them, it just made it that much worse. Like, it made it that much worse. Just the psychological fuckover. Right. Like, that's what happened. They really did go to Disneyland.
There's no candy corn at Disneyland. No. I don't want to.
I didn't say candy corn. I said cotton candy.
Candy corn, and it's recorded, so the rest of the world knows.
You did not say candy corn.
You did.
His mom said candy corn.
She did.
I hate candy corn.
I do too.
I said churros, fool.
You said candy corn and churros.
And Dr. Peppers. They had large Dr. Peppers.
Now you're adding shit. I don't remember that part.
And you just said that he said chores.
Yeah.
I was trying to talk, and his interruptions just drive me crazy. Brad's so sexy, he makes me hard. And when I get hard, I get pissed.
You can't think because all the blood's in your dick.
That's what happens.
But I think probably the worst thing that he did, February 23rd to September 6th, like specific dates, 1988, he had what they called an Anfal campaign. And Anfal means spoils of war. So he sends 200,000 troops to the Kurdish population in northern Iraq, his own fucking country.
Yep.
He divides all the citizens into four groups: men, who were defined as people who are between 13 and 70, women, children, and elderly. Men were shot and buried in mass graves. Everybody else was sent to relocation camps to just suffer and have no food and live horrible fucking lives.
That's why this guy,
if there was a village that gave any resistance at all, his troops would kill every single person in the village.
That's why this guy got stomped out in a war. He's killing all the fucking people that can fight for him.
Right. 182,000 people were said to have died in that particular campaign against his own people. So this is the shit that he's doing. I mean, massive scale killing of his own people, fucking horror show.
You oppose me? Men over here.
Yeah, we'll kill fucking everybody. All of you.
Yeah.
And then his son, because I had always heard, like, when everybody was, like, when the war in Iraq started under Bush 2, and they had, like, those, remember they had those playing cards that had pictures of everybody on them?
What?
They had playing cards with all the top Iraqi generals and everybody, like, the pictures were on playing cards. They gave them out, so all American soldiers would have these. So if you happen to be in the street, you're bored. You're playing cards all the time. Apparently worked. Some of them were caught, and even like on the news, you would see it, and they were now referred to as the Three of Hearts and the Jack of Diamonds, because that was the card they happened to be on.
I bet there was some collateral damage and some dudes got fucked up.
That's
him, man. I can tell by his mustache, man.
But during this era, there were all these stories about his two sons, Uday and Kusei. Kusei was a little bit crazy, but Uday was fucking off the charts. He was just a fucking evil, degenerate, deplorable.
His song was off the charts.
He was a demon.
Top of the charts.
Food taster murderer.
Right. So, and I wanted to read a little bit of stuff about Uday at a party. So Uday was recovering. This is the backstory. Uday's recovering from an assassination attempt where he's been shot 8 times.
Damn.
And he's recovered.
Damn,
and he's
fucking 50 Cent over there.
He's having his fucking recovery party. And one of the guys at the party is a governor of a major area in the region, and he thinks that the 14-year-old daughter is attractive. So he tells his men, go over to the daughter once she walks away from her parents and tell them she can either come up and talk to me on the podium real quick or give her my number and tell her she can call me later on tonight. And the men walk over to her. They tell her all that. She says, I don't think my parents would be okay with either of those options. And they're like, you should really reconsider. Those are your two options. She said, no, I'm really. And they were like, okay. So they picked her up, dragged her to a car, drove her off. So the parents, their daughter is gone for 3 days. She gets dropped back off at the house with a bunch of money and several Rolexes and basically says, for the last 3 days, Uday had me locked up and was raping me.
Oh my God.
And they took her to the hospital. They did the rape kit, the whole thing. They were like, yes, she's been raped multiple times. And this guy's a governor, so he's got some balls, and he's telling the doctor, and they were like, who do you think raped her? And they were like, Uday Hussein. And the doctor was like, okay, well, I got to go.
Yeah.
So everybody's like,
we're done here.
You know, peace out. But so check this out. He starts pushing it, and he tries to get an audience with Saddam because he's powerful enough to have been at this party in the first place. He says that he wants to get an audience with Saddam, and Saddam says, yeah, I'll give you an audience. So Uday goes and talks to him personally and says, I'm having another party next week. I want you to come. I want you to bring your daughter. I want you to bring your 12-year-old daughter. I'm going to rape both of them all night long, or I'm going to kill all of you.
Jesus Christ.
So needless to say, they went to the party. His two daughters got raped all night long, and none of them were killed.
That is just horrifying, yeah, dude. This is like the worst nightmare.
Fucking horror. I mean, the guy's a fucking monster.
Kill the guy.
A lot of the stories
like,
were from...
I don't see why people let people do this.
I have no idea.
Because the other brother would still get you. I know.
So what?
I know, you're right. I would have had a gun on my back.
I just killed all of them.
Straight in his face.
Hussein. Right, y'all
exactly,
dead.
Exactly. So
it's not going down.
And there was a guy
Blame it on Hussein. Yeah. That was the name of the song. How did we not do
Blame
that?
Blame it on Hussein.
How did we not get that earlier? Blame it on Hussein? Stupid.
I'm in love with you, girl.
Oh, this just took a turn for the worst.
A guy named Latif Yahya, I'm not pronouncing it right.
He got it.
Apparently, he grew up with Uday. They went to college together, and apparently he looked remarkably like Uday. So Uday comes to him and says, hey, I want you to be my body double in public.
So like people shoot you.
My dad's got a bunch of body doubles. He was like, trust me, you're going to live exactly like I live. You're going to do nothing but go to fucking Paris and live like sleeping with supermodels and fucking have money because you have to live exactly like I live, or they're going to know you're not me. So you'll live. And he was like, no, dude, I'm cool. Like old college
buddies. He knew
buddies.
What was up.
Like,
yeah.
He was like, no. So as soon as he says no,
I don't want to rape 12-year-olds.
Uday says, like, freaks out. And like to the people who are in the room, he starts screaming, this guy thinks he looks like me. This guy thinks he can replace me. You think you're Uday now? And they fucking take him and they lock him in a box, a red box that they put out in the desert sun. And he's in there for a week. He can't sit down. He can't lay down. He's just squatted over in this box, shitting on himself, pissing on himself. They're just giving him enough water to survive. They take him out, they torture him, and then they say, and then he said, are you ready to be my body double now? And he was like, yep. He was like, all right, let's do it. So then this guy becomes his body double.
No hard feelings, man.
No, yeah, exactly.
It just had to happen, man.
This guy becomes his body double. And there's a movie and a book written about this guy because he ends up basically.
That's where Redbox started, actually. they started a movie called Redbox, and then they were like, you know, this sounds like a good idea. I like the name. It has a good ring to it.
We should put these everywhere. Yes.
Man, he's telling a story. It's just like a movie. The movie spit the movie out.
And again, some of the really quickly, because they all just get worse and worse and worse. And so this guy accounts tons of things that he saw Uday do once he gets sort of liberated by the Americans. And he's like, I'll tell you all the fucking shit that these people were doing.
Yeah.
There was a woman named Nalet Sabet who was a college student, because apparently Uday used to go to colleges and just walk around and grab people and rape them. Mm-hmm. She rejected him openly, like in public at the school. So he took her and raped her, and then took her naked, still living, and threw her to hungry wild dogs that ripped her to pieces.
They just ate her genitals.
Jesus Christ.
At another time, Uday and his bodyguards grabbed a newlywed couple. The girl pleaded with him to let her go. She'd only been married for a day. Uday beat the girl till she was bloody, then raped her. He then came out of the bedroom, and she jumped from a seventh floor building to kill herself immediately after. And then her husband was immediately sentenced to death for insulting the president.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, you got to beat her.
That dude was just born in the wrong century.
No, you got to beat her. I mean, you have to, if you're going to rape somebody, you got to have lube.
And he forced every single Miss Iraq winner to have sex with him.
Oh, wow. Nobody wants to win. Is that why they got uglier?
Like, every over the single years? One of them had to have sex with Uday.
Wow.
Because I remember, and I heard tales of him with like tigers, like he had Bengal tigers. And I remember hearing this on the news at the time, and he would do horrible things to people with these fucking tigers that were his pet tigers.
What do you look like?
He was just a
How many eyebrows did this guy
he
have?
He was just a fucking monster of a man that had unchecked power.
Oh,
no one's calling him out on it. I think the movie is about the bodyguard.
It would make me so angry. I can't watch that shit. No. This guy's dead, right?
Unbelievable. I believe he's dead. I think the Marines killed him.
He kind of looks like Saddam. He just looks like a fucking Middle Eastern guy. They all look the same to me.
Yeah.
They all look like camels.
Jesus,
I don't give a fuck about this guy.
Like, he kind of looks like Mario a little bit.
You know what?
Mario with an army helmet. Yeah,
kind of. With an army helmet. He has a mustache.
Yeah, he's got a good mustache. He's got a good mustache.
I don't know. These people bred their own, like, the way that they live, it's just insane. Like, the way that these guys, I wonder how many dictators or, like, people like this, like, other people, like not just Saddam Hussein and his kids, but like Chinese dictators and their kids. Like, what are their kids doing? You know what I mean? Or
right.
Russia.
What kind of evil shit are they allowed to get away with?
Jesus Christ.
I think they're just playing Xbox, man. Like, I'm fucking not making, I'm just living off dad money. I don't think they're doing that.
I don't think so. I think we would be surprised to find probably some crazy ass bullshit because the culture is different. You know what I mean? Like this culture, you know,
that's what I'm saying. I think they're insane. Yeah. I think that's like,
yeah, but there's a lot of cultures that are kind of similar.
It's Hussein.
But I really, yeah, I just, worse than I really, Hussein. I just, cause it's like, you can go through his biography and just, yeah, there were incidences of sarin gas and him killing his own people, but like by the hundreds of thousands. And these were the things that his children were doing openly in Baghdad, and everybody fucking knew about it. I mean, they were fucking monsters.
You're all fucking monsters.
Yeah, even son, brother, you gotta take that fucker out.
Fucking monsters.
Yeah, you gotta take him out.
Right?
Like,
I just really
guilt by association on that shit.
Like before the invasion of Iraq the second time, I wanted to really clearly like show off the kind of shit that they were doing.
Yeah, before this, Iraq. I was kind of upset about like the whole 9/11 happened. It was Osama bin Laden. Let's go get Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Like I was like,
that's the body double. So that's Uday and that's the Leaf guy.
Right.
Naif or whatever. So like he does.
Uday just shaved. He just fixed up the eyebrow. He got waxed. Yeah. That's all the difference was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty similar.
So in 2002, obviously, after 9/11 and all that stuff, George Bush in January gives his Axis of Evil speech. He includes a bunch of countries in the Axis of Evil that are evil and then only invades ones that have oil.
Right. It was North Korea.
Right.
We talk shit,
right.
But never
attack. Yeah, no. But so the United Nations weapons inspectors doubled their efforts and went everywhere and came back and said, no, we're not finding any weapons of mass destruction. And then, of course,
I mean, Jesus, save face and hide some, man. Like, yeah, fucking,
you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I kept waiting. I kept waiting after the invasion.
You'd think
happened.
They would plant.
Yeah,
like, look what we found, man.
We found
barrels in a sand dune, man.
Underground. Yep.
Yeah. Nope. They just kept saying nope.
They could have staged that. Yeah, that makes me think we couldn't even fake the moon landing. Yeah. Like, you can't take some pictures of some fucking mustard gas barrels.
My
Photoshop some sand. Like,
pretty cool. My buddy who actually did a tour. He did a few tours in Iraq, but they raided Saddam's mansion. Or castle or whatever the fuck
one
it is, palace.
Many, yeah.
And he actually took a Quran that was left there and he still has it. Like, it's pretty fucking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
from gold-leafed and crazy.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Yeah. Like, but it's a Quran from the palace, and it's Saddam's. Like, it's kind of cool. Like,
it is.
Are,
cool
you still in, are you still in contact with this man?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know where he is?
Yes.
Okay.
So then the war kicks up. April 9th, 2003, the U.S. said that, no, there are weapons of mass destruction, and they go in and invade. Baghdad did fall pretty quickly. They very surgically took out Baghdad, but obviously it wasn't a 6 weeks and we're over kind of a scenario. That shit went on and on.
Well, that's because George is curious.
Right. He wasn't furious. Yet.
Not yet. He's curious.
But I also, I mean... Anyway, it speaks to all sorts of things. I think it also probably speaks to the fact that the Desert Storm was truly a coalition of the willing. There were nations from all around the world that were like, this guy does not have the right to do this. Except but at
France.
This point,
France wasn't playing.
The entire United Nations during the 2002 invasion was like, you're fucking doing what? Like, there's no, he doesn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But we were like, we're fucking doing it. You're either with us or you're against us. Like, it was.
They actually tried to change the name of French fries to fucking Freedom Fries.
Yes.
That point
did.
In time because
yeah.
France wouldn't fucking jump on the wagon.
That's right.
That's fucking yeah. crazy.
Yeah. So on April 9th, 2003, they declare war.
Let me hear the laugh then... again. I want to hear the laugh, man.
It's gotten better.
Yeah, it has.
I've been focused.
He's been working every morning and he wakes up mirror. And in the mirror.
Yeah, he's all, right. I will be successful. I will make $1 million. Fucking right. Dave just, it's his mantra every morning.
I'm not the Antichrist.
I do it right after my Kegels.
Ooh, damn.
But so
keep,
Saddam,
keep it tight, keep it right.
Saddam goes into hiding. And this is what a lot of people call bullshit on. This is where conspiracy theorists all sort of get involved here. The fact that supposedly he went into hiding and on December 13th, 2003, they find him hiding in a small underground bunker. Some people describe it as a cellar. Some people describe it as a spider hole near a farmhouse near Tikrit, which was his hometown.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the operation name, what they called it?
No.
Red Dawn. That's fucking cool, man.
Did they?
Yeah, it's called Operation Red Dawn.
Isn't that a movie?
Yeah.
So,
ain't that a movie, man? Think it is.
That's the movie.
I'm not talking about the Australian one.
I've never even seen that one.
Sorry, Australia, but your fucking awesome. Yeah, your new one sucked. The original one was great.
Everything so Australian sucks.
They end up except for our fans.
Yeah,
no, they suck.
And their licorice that they sell at Trader Joe's.
Their licorice is delicious.
That shit is awesome.
I haven't had the licorice.
It's fucking delicious.
Yeah,
I have to try it. What's different about the licorice?
I can't.
Licorice.
I can't explain it.
Mm-mm. It's better.
It's licorice perfection.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So in June 30th, 2004, he's handed over, to the Iraqi government. So, which is kind of a long turnover. They arrested him December 13th. They give him over to the government.
Well, you
June
had to
30th.
Torture and question
yeah.
him.
So they,
and you know, do a DNA test on him since he had so many body
yeah,
doubles.
Exactly. 6 months later, they turn him over to the Iraq. Then again, I think they were probably also raiding for an Iraqi government that could actually, like yeah. the country was in such turmoil. They were probably waiting until there was a courthouse in place that could try him.
I'm glad that all worked out.
Yeah. 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 So he ends up getting a trial on November 5th. He's found guilty of war crimes. He's sentenced to death. They end up immediately appealing with the Court of Appeals in Iraq. The appeal doesn't work either, which is very quick.
Go figure.
It's a very quick appeal. And then on December 30th, and at the
sure this trial was on the up and up. I'm sure
the trial. Like, I saw
was
parts.
Was like in a fucking tent?
I saw like, parts just, of the trial.
He's like, the glove does not fit, man. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like all of
Shapiro
the girls.
Shapiro went over yeah. there and shit. Like
all of the girls that Uday raped are the fucking jurors.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so the crazy thing is I remember watching a lot of the trial and it was like he couldn't stop being the leader and dictator Saddam Hussein. Right. So it was like the judge and people would be like asking his identity, like, are you the former president of Iraq, Saddam Hussein? And he would like lose his shit and say, you will not say former president. I am the president of Iraq. And based on the constitution, I am immune to any, prosecution. And he like, wouldn't like, he was like, fucking
he was a lawyer
in the role.
I mean, the
know?
Fact that he got a trial was like, fucking, he should have,
I think they
do it.
I think,
you know,
I think they did that for the world stage. I think really, like, it didn't matter. Like, you already know what you're gonna
do. It was just really the guy from Hot Shots.
Yeah. Probably.
You ever see that?
Yes.
That guy was fucking. That guy looked just like him.
It was
the guy that catches the bomb. It might have been.
So then December 30th on 2006, they hang him at, I kind of threw up a little, at Camp Justice.
Yes.
They made it called that?
Yeah.
After that?
It was probably already called that, but that was where they
I
hung
think
him.
I don't even think he's dead, man. Him and Charlie Sheen hang out all the time.
And then there was all the, well, there was like footage, like they tore his body down and fucking beat on him and tore him
apart.
He
got stabbed six times, yeah.
Like it was rough. Like he had a
He wanted to get shot, hanging. Actually.
Yeah, he requested to get shot, and they were like, nope, yeah. Not going to happen.
They should have buried him with his head out, and they rock him to death. Stone him.
Rock him.
Yeah,
they rock him. Rock him. Oh man, look at the joke you made there.
Yeah, I rock him.
Rock him to death, man. I so bet then he you ended wish up, you could ran right now, man.
He was buried in his birthplace on New Year's Day of 2006, and that is why we to this day celebrate New Year's.
Nice.
Yeah, wow, that's
nice. No, yeah. No. Like I'm gonna throw this stone. You want me to quit?
I wanted to quit, but I ran. You know? Yeah, I mean, he had an Iraq. What do you want me to do? Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I was afraid he might overthrow it. He might overthrow the Iraq, so I ran, and I can wait, you know? There's more jokes there. I was hungry. I was hungry. Hey, I was headed for Turkey.
Hey, what could you... I can't say it. What could you could say?
What? What's that one?
Kusei Hussein, the son.
No, that is another son. Yeah.
Or a sibling, brother. Oh, no. It's his son. Kusei. What could you Kusei?
So, yeah, there was, you go.
That's got, the life and times of Saddam Hussein. He started as a legit politician with a slight case of assassination in the middle.
Yeah.
And then it was all downhill
and
from there.
He just bred rape and torture.
What a fucking monster. Yeah. I had no idea. So, yeah, even in spite of the fact that we should have never invaded that country or had anything to do with it, and it had nothing to do with 9/11 or anything, I suppose the world's probably a better place with him not being in control.
Yeah.
I do have to say I'm not on the Saddam train anymore.
No.
I fell off. Yeah. Definitely not on the Udi.
Falafel.
Yeah. Falafel. It's the wrong one.
Fucking sponsors.
Okay. So a couple things real quick. I know everybody wants a coffee mug real bad, but we do not have them in complete production yet. Yeah, we have one for those pictures right now, but they're coming. And we don't have a way to pre-order them.
The store is up, you will be able to
buy them. As soon as the store is up, which some guy told his friend, these motherfuckers have been saying there's going to be a store for a year.
You tell Alan Eckhart, who owns the web company that's doing our thing.
It is so close. They took photos for the merchandise this week, so it is super close. We got the hoodies. We have most of the shirts. We have the coffee mug prototypes. So stuff is coming. We are going to have that. And we're working
on. And if you go back and listen, I have never once in all of these shows said that the website is close to coming out.
You know, we could put words together.
It is. It's been close for a long time.
Me and Brad know how to edit audio.
I have never said it, but right now I'm going on the record to say that I still don't think it's close.
Nah, dude. It's on the edge.
No, it's close. We've waited. It's close.
I've seen it. It's close.
It really is.
Hold your...
It's the hard thing because we are like go-getters. We want to get it done and we're waiting.
The work that goes into it, man. I mean, web design and graphic design and manufacturing certain things and getting materials for things and printing and screen printing and
dealing with your screen printer.
There's all this stuff that has to happen. Yep. Speaking of screen printers, DeLeon Graphics.
Yeah, and he's been telling us he hasn't been getting enough requests for dick pillows, which is disappointing, to say the least.
We're wondering where you're at on that.
Yeah, he's really really excited about producing.
He feels left out. He's a new sponsor. He hasn't been hazed. And
how can they hit him with dick requests?
On Instagram.
Instagram. Direct at DeLeon, message. DeLeon Graphics with an X.
Also on Facebook Messenger. Yep. They can like the page and immediately dick pic it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So do that.
You don't have to send a picture of your dick to him if that's what you're. Mm-hmm. You just need to request.
You can request the dick pillow send a dick picture to him, whatever you like.
You can just pull one off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest, veiniest one you can find, man.
Dildos. Just send it straight. Dildo guns. Whatever you want.
We should make one and sell it.
Dildo guns?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a Nerf one that we
Well, we could do like a pre-order on the website. It's like a potato gun.
We should probably be able to make one of those if we're going to do that.
Oh, no, we definitely could. It's a PVC tube.
On that note, thank you to our primary sponsor, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. If you haven't tried El Yucateco Hot Sauce, you should. It's available at Target, Walmart, most major grocery chains. And if you want to feel really cool, walk into the Little Mexican Market and test your Spanish if you got any skills at all. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can go there and order sticky stuff and other printed things. Our stickers, actually, Brad and I went and did the proofs on the stickers. They're on their way. They should be here pretty soon. Lots of empty promises, I know. Sorry about that. But use code SOFAKING.
Brent's making them. I'm just over here.
If you guys want to order that. Dude, it's so much work. It's hard.
It is.
So thank you to them. Thank you to Digital Creations. That's who's making those coffee mugs. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com. He's having some kind of November Black Friday thing right now on those gis. They're only like $120, I think. So, and it's a really nice
and
gi.
And you get a DVD or like a DVD download.
That's probably still in the
I think I think it's still I think if you buy a gi, you get the DVD download, and he has judo for jiu-jitsu. Yeah. He has arm bars, specialty.
But up front, like, if you have a libido of any sort, it's going to be difficult. Like, you got to allow like an hour of cool down period after watching the video before attempting the train, because shit will get awkward. You will be rock hard when you watch that video. So watch it at least an hour before class, because your training partner will appreciate you not bringing that roll of quarters or whatever you're packing. So on that note, that's all I got.
I'll leave it at that.
Afghaniman, you know, if you use Afghaniman, your beard is black, man. Yeah. Go ahead. Finish the podcast, man. Finish it up already. Go ahead. Are you done yet?
I don't know. It's been an hour and a half.
You have a saying or something. We've been talking a lot today. It's a lot. Yeah. It's overwhelming. What you got? Go for it.
Are we done?
Mountain, do your thing, man. Come on, let's go. Don't make me keep making cheesy jokes over here. I'm waiting for it to finish. You say it, I'll stop. I'm waiting.
You don't sound...
Blame it on Hussein. I know. I'm a fictional character that sounds nothing like the stereotypical man we are trying to make fun of.
All right. Don't be a retard. You're done?
I'm still here.
All right. Don't be a retard.
Bagpipes from Baghdad. When will it ever cease? For Pete's sake, he's crazy. heterosexual. Nothing will stop me from molesting you. Titty fucking you to your breast. Nipple flesh tickles my testicles. Is what they said to the two conjoined twins. How's it going, girlfriends? You need a boyfriend? You need some ointment? Just set up an appointment. Who's gonna see the doctor first? We'll do a coin flip. I just got my 1 year sobriety coin chip. When the bad get going, how bad does the going get? Baby, you shouldn't have any trouble rubbing groins with each other, especially when you're joined at the hip. I'm going to get the needle and thread from the sewing kit. In attempt to separate him and stitch him back at the loin shit. Nor the little boy with the chocolate chips, ahoy chip. Cookie, lookie, even took me a Polaroid.